Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, you're telling me there's a chance that Liverpool could be top four.
I'm not telling you anything.
There's a chance. I'm telling you, the door is open.
It's not.
It is.
It's not.
A weekend where Newcastle dropped points, all 3 points.
Have you forgotten that Brighton United still got two games in hand?
Yeah, I did forget about them. They're pretty good as well, to be fair, aren't they? They're pretty good as well.
I love this.
It's going to my head. It's gone massively to my head.
You've had another win and suddenly you're like, that's it.
I think it's open. It's far more open than it was, say, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was nailed on to be Newcastle and Man U, third and fourth. But now, I think we're in the mix. I think Brighton are in the mix. Are Spurs in the mix? No. No. I had to take it too far, didn't I?
You took it too far with Liverpool. You took it too far with you lot. Then you came to us. Look, if we both end up in the Europa League, we'll have done all right.
Our Thursday nights are going to be well exciting, aren't they? Let's face it. Who should we watch? Liverpool or Spurs in Europa League?
If we get away, well, it could be you in the Europa League and us in the conference, or vice versa.
Could be. Wilco's in the chat. He says the dream is still alive.
No,
don't crush
not.
Our dreams, Sam.
On Wilco. He's spot on.
Stop
encouraging him, for goodness' sake.
Stop crushing our dreams, Sam. Come on, stop crushing our dreams.
Damp on your dreams.
One thing that I am dreaming of is some FPL points. I've got absolutely naffle. Spoiler alert: the FPL this week has been it's been bad. We will do as usual, guys. Overall ranks and scores and all that sort of stuff. But we are going to gloss over it pretty quickly, I'd suggest.
It's not over yet.
It's not over. I've still got my three Brighton to play.
Well, just them?
Yes.
Anyone else?
I think so. Well, we'll talk about teams a bit later on. I can't think I've got anybody else. I don't think so.
Can't even think of games of tomorrow now.
Oh, but yeah, honestly. It has been a tough week for a lot of FPL managers, I think, so far.
Yeah,
now, clearly, if March and Mitoma, McAllister and Stupinan and Steele, if all those guys go crazy tomorrow, or whenever it is they play, it's three games
tomorrow, right?
Three games. But from an FPL perspective, it's mostly Brighton, isn't it? We've got
Fulham and Leicester.
So, Brighton, yeah,
Everton,
a little bit maybe.
Nottingham Forest and Southampton. It is all on Brighton.
It's mostly Brighton, I think. So, FPL managers, you will have some Brighton left. I'm sure there's a few Madison, maybe Vardy, maybe Harvey Barnes owners out there, but not many, I'd suggest. It's mostly on your Brighton players. But outside of that, what's the phrase? It's a good week to have a bad week. Is that the right phrase? I'm not having a particularly good week, but I don't think many are. I don't think there's many points floating around, to be honest with you.
I blame Edison.
Well, you could blame Edison. You could also blame Mr. Erling Haaland. I mean, point dodging extraordinaire.
What's that about?
He's not got any points is unbelievable.
It was almost like Mrs. Sitter. Oh, a penalty? No. Gundo, you have it. What?
Yeah. Even Pep, who loves trolling us in a Friday conference, doesn't he? He even tried to help us, didn't he? He tried to help us, fledgling FPL managers. Erling, you take it. You have to take it, Erling. And he was apparently too nice, was the words that Pep's used. He's such a nice guy, he let Gundogan take it. I'm telling you, that's not the words he used in the dressing room after, I guarantee it. Because he wasn't happy, Pep. He wasn't happy at 2-0.
But he probably went over to him and then realised that Haaland is like twice his size and then quickly went, yeah, don't be nice.
And realised he's got like 40 goals or whatever this season and he needs him. So listen, guys, lots to discuss in the games that we've had. We're going to rattle through those pretty quickly. Probably going to do... I said to you as we're coming on, we'll keep it a little bit shorter tonight because it's a bit later than usual and all the rest of it, but we will probably prattle on for the same amount of time that we always do. We're going to talk about Liverpool, Spurs. We're going to talk about Newcastle, who got, frankly, done over by a very, very good Arsenal performance today. If any of you out there were sort of thinking that Arsenal might have been put off of their stride by their recent results and performances... Not a bit of it today at St James's. Very, very good they were. Very good. And we've got to talk about what we've just seen. West Ham beating Manchester United 1-0. Could have been more as well. Man United fans, let us know in the chat how you feel that game went. Definitely could have had more.
Yeah.
I don't know what... And I'm not about to go off on one about VAR. But that handball on half-time on... Was it Lindelof? That what? I mean, basically just moved his arm towards it and the ref blown for half-time. Absolutely bonkers. But let's get into it, Sam. Let's go to a few of the games. But before we do, let's say hello to a few people because there are plenty in the live chat. Samar95, how are you doing, Samar? Nice to see you. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. He says, bad week so far. It has been, Scott.
Yeah,
you're not alone, mate. You're not alone. It's okay.
But
it's okay.
It's been a terrible week for FPL. Terrible. Mm. But Spurs and Liverpool both won. How often do you get an FPL family
live
stream
really good mood
where we're both happy?
That's
this
really
never
mood
happens. So let's just... Embrace the carnage that is FPL.
Yeah, totally.
We're all happy in the FPL family household tonight.
In fact, get your scores in the live chat, because if we're going to have to tell you what our scores are this week, then you guys have got to tell us what your scores are.
Yeah, but somebody's
going to
come in and
we're going to share this
pain. Got 95.
No one's got 95, Sam, I'm telling you. Jerps is in. I've had a horrible week. 18 points. Jerps, I feel you, man. Listen,
everyone's
going to be lots of people down in the mud.
I bet you someone in
mate.
That chat has got less than 18.
In the mud. Who else we got? Wilco, De Gea, Comer, Kelleher. I had him in my FPL team, didn't I?
Okay, I'll tell you a funny story. What? Because Benrahma scores that goal. Lee's like, yes, come on, West Ham.
Sorry, United fans.
He's celebrating. Well, because it's because it's Liverpool, right?
Yeah, and he
thinks he can get fourth now.
Yeah.
So he's in his own little...
Stop crushing my dreams.
He's in his little weird moment where he suddenly thinks Liverpool are going to be all right again. Sorry to burst your bubble, but you're not. So he's like, yes, West Ham. And then he turns to me and he goes, no, I've got De Gea.
De Gea blank again. What a joke. We've got Thabo Gama is in. We've got Martin Salim. We've got...
Manager of the Month.
Oh, yes, actually, we should talk about it. In fact, what a good opportunity that is to talk about it since... Mr. Martin Sarlin is here. We're going to talk about our Manager of the Month update for April. These are the final standings for our Patreon, patreon.com/FPL Family Manager of the Month in April. April was about 5 or 6 game weeks long.
It was a big one.
Lots of doubles, lots of difficult game weeks to navigate. So Martin Sarlin to come out and win that in April with a grand total of 551. He came from nowhere, Sam. Let me tell you, in that final game week, he got, and this was the fight, so this was 34, was the last game week in April. He got like 130 odd points or something.
134, I think you said.
Crazy. So, commiserations to James and to Nathan, who up until that point were being incredibly consistent. And then, not as if they had a bad game week 34, it's just that Martin absolutely smashed it with 130 odd points. Absolutely brilliant. So Martin is going to win a prize of his choice, probably a replica shirt or something. We're going to have that conversation with him on Slack later on tonight, I suspect. But Martin, congratulations on your win in April and commiserations to James and Nathan, who nevertheless had a brilliant April. They had a brilliant April. And if you guys want to take part in our May Manager of the Month competition, our last monthly competition of this season, of course, then patreon.com/FPL Family is the place to go and get all of that information. If you sign up in May, I'm going to be pausing the billing in June and July. So you won't. If you want to sign up in May, we'd love to have you on board for the May competition. Don't think, oh, I'm going to sign up in May and then I'm going to be charged for June and July when there's no FPL. We don't charge any of our patrons for June and July,
no,
right?
Because we don't charge in the off-season.
Frankly, we ain't creating a lot of content because there ain't a lot of football going on. So on the off-season, we don't charge. And then billing, we'll resume, of course, in April. Back in August. when the football's back and the FPL's back and everything else. So if you do want to come and try us out, just for the month of May, patreon.com/FPL Family. If you're thinking, my mini league's lost, I've had it with FPL, let's just forget it and move on to next season, come and join in with the competition.
Thinking,
everybody starts at zero.
My team can't make European football this season. They're not going to make the Champions League. I might as well go over and win an FPL prize.
Right.
Off you come.
Thanks for the Patreon plug. Stop crushing my dreams. Right, let's get on to... Oh, those are the fixtures. Let's not go there. Let's go to some of these games, Sam.
The fact that that's your dream.
What?
The dream is to make the top four.
well,
how far have Liverpool fallen if that's your dream?
Trust me, based on how crap we've been this season, that is a...
Last,
I'm happy to be where we're at.
The last couple of years, your dreams has been to like win the Champions League,
win the
Premier League. Now it's just to make the top four.
Listen, I'll take it. The way our season's
going... My dream's to be back in the
Europa. Wilco will agree with me, trust me. The Liverpool fans in the chat will agree with me. We've been far from our best. And even in this little run that we've had over the last 6 or 7 games, we've not been great. We've just somehow found a way to win. In fact, why don't we start there? Liverpool 1, Brentford 0. What did you make of the game? And before I give my view on it. And are we going to get fourth?
No, you're not going to get fourth. Oh my goodness me. I thought Trent was good. I thought Trent was really good in this one. And I can't help but feel a little bit aggrieved that I didn't get more points than I did from him, right?
I think you can feel aggrieved.
He's
one
of
those, very, very good.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of feel like every time I watch Trent, I feel like because of the position that he's in, that he could get an attacking return. And the clean sheets are starting to come for Liverpool as well now consistently, which is also nice because, of course, that's just more making him more likely. Obviously, Van Dijk was the one really, though, when it came to the defence this week.
Because
he
got
the assist, got the three
bonus
points. Salah doing what Salah does best. But again, I don't... Okay, I'm going to say something that's maybe slightly controversial here, but I still don't feel like we've got the best Salah playing at the moment. Like, He's ticking over the points.
Yeah.
He's picking up goals, so I shouldn't knock it. And he's obviously over the 200 points for the fifth season in a row. So although we've sat here a lot, not just us, but all content creators, and talked about how Salah hasn't had his best season in FPL.
Yeah.
I still don't feel like he's having his best season, if you know what I mean. Like, he's picked up. Liverpool picked up.
Yeah.
I still feel like Salah's got more to give.
If you're looking purely from an XG perspective, it was Darwin Nunez, actually, that was getting the chances. Yeah. I mean, I happened to listen to Ian Wright was on Match of the Day last night talking about that he doesn't see this being a problem with Nunez, right? Nunez is going to find some consistency, find some confidence in the same way that he did at his previous clubs. First season was bedding in, second season he kind of came to the fore. I want to agree with him, and I hope that is the case. I hope that is the case. And one of the things he said, which I agree with, which is Darwin Nunez, for sure, is getting in those positions to score goals. All right, he's not taking them right now, but for whatever reason, confidence, ability, technique, whatever. But with an XG underachievement of minus 0.61 this game week, which was second only to Haaland. No shock. But Haaland was top for XG underachievers. But Nunez was second. He was the one that was getting into the dangerous positions, but... Listen, you give Mo a chance and he's going to take it in a way that Nunez doesn't. So yes. He's still the pick for me.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think he is. I think the problem that you have is that how much money do you want to spend on Liverpool?
Well, let's have a look at the Liverpool fixtures for the remainder of the season then. So 36, 37 and 38, they look all right. It's Leicester away, which, as I said before last Sunday, I don't like the look of that fixture. It's a Monday night. Against Leicester,
and
who
you're
are
away
fighting,
from home. You don't like
and
going
we're away,
away from home.
And I don't like it. I don't like that fixture. I'll be honest.
We better not live stream after that. Then we won't get this chipperly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that we've won a few on the spin. We do look better.
They've been a lot at home though. A lot of home games recently.
There's something about that fixture that I don't like. Anyway, then it's Villa at home. Don't mind that at all. And then Southampton away to finish the season. Who will be down by then? I suspect. Sorry, Saints fans. So that Leicester fixture. I do think what's happened today with Newcastle and Man United should... It's got to give us a boost, hasn't it? It's got to give us a boost going into that game, surely.
It absolutely should do. And if for whatever reason Brighton don't pick up points against Everton, I can't see that either. But this weekend has been weird for results, so...
No doubt.
You know,
yeah, no doubt.
And Everton do need the points.
But do you continue to stay invested in Liverpool in the way that you are with... You've got Trent, you've got Gakpo. So, you're pretty happy with them two between now and the end of the season?
No. So, Trent, I'm absolutely going to hold from now until the end of the season. There's no way I'm going anywhere other than that.
This weekend, he's the one player that I've watched and thought, wish I had. And didn't like not owning.
Yeah, because you've got Robbo, right?
I've got Robbo. Yeah. For money reasons, I had to get Robbo.
Yeah.
And he's missed out. I think he got 6 and Trent got 7. But I felt like I got away with that.
Yeah.
I felt like I got away with that because Trent was getting forward. He's involved. He's having shots on target. Yeah, I think Raya made a good save second half.
Yeah, whereas I felt a bit hard done by as a Trent owner.
Yeah,
Trent, 100% going nowhere from my team. I'm really enjoying owning him again. I feel like I'm owning Trent of last season. Last couple of seasons, really, where he's been really consistently good.
Yeah.
So Trent's going to stay. So
do you get Trent now? If you haven't got a Liverpool defender, but you have the money... Do you prioritise the double game weekers or do you go and get a Trent?
Well, the way that the double game week teams are defending at the moment, I'd prioritise getting Trent.
Mm.
Because if you look at the double game week defenders, you know, Manchester United is slipping up. They're not keeping clean sheets. Manchester City, unless Edison's not in goal, are not keeping clean sheets.
Yeah, what's that about Edison, man?
Newcastle, they haven't been keeping clean sheets. So the teams that you have, Chelsea definitely not keeping clean sheets. The only real team that you can invest in from a double game week perspective that you could be reasonably confident of a clean sheet is Brighton. But the fixtures...
Not in 36.
But the fixtures that they have mean that I wouldn't think that they would get a clean sheet. So they're the best of them defensively, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But the fixtures aren't necessarily there for a clean sheet. They're there for attacking returns. So my feeling is you would prioritise Trent because the way that he is playing, even if the clean sheet goes, unlike these other guys where the clean sheet might go, but you don't see the attacking returns coming. With Trent, if the clean sheet does go, you can see an attacking return coming for him. So I would prioritise Trent. The reason I said no is because I have 4 midfielders currently who play twice in double game week 36 or 37. And I'm going to have a couple of forwards who play twice, but I'm not prepared to sell Harry Kane, as we
fair enough,
all
yeah,
know
fair enough,
constantly.
Because returned again this week. Returned just again. Absolutely inevitable, yeah.
Because the man is literally a ledge.
What are you going to do without him next season?
Will you shut up?
You're crushing my dreams. I'll crush your dreams. He's going Man United.
Smash your face. he's not going to Man United. They'll get somebody. It won't be Kane. I've lost my train of thought. Oh, so my midfielders. So the only realistic way I have to get my additional double game week players is my Gakpo position.
Right.
And whilst I don't feel necessarily thrilled about the idea of selling Gakpo, because actually I've quite enjoyed owning him for the last couple of weeks. I know he didn't get anything this time around.
Could have.
But he could have.
Yeah, one that bounced off his knee. It could have gone anywhere.
He had a good shot towards the end of the game as well that just went about a foot wide of the post. And I was like, Gakpo. There were a couple of moments where I was like, there could have been something in that game.
So you're
going to
sell Gakpo, are you?
So I am going to sell him, but it's not through any fault of his own. It's not like I'm desperate to get rid of him.
You just
think
you can do better?
It's just I think that I can target, can use that position to target a doubler for 36 and then move it on again to target a doubler for 37. And maybe I go back to him for game week 38.
Okay. All right. I quite like the narrative we were going along there about the having a bit of a, not a punt, but I do feel like if you were going to have a bit of a differential between now and the end of the season, a defender or two might not be a bad shout. I mean, how many games in a row now Trippier has not kept a clean sheet or got an assist? It's
like nine
or ten or something. So I sort of feel like you could go without him. The City defence, like you say, unreliable. we've already mentioned Liverpool and getting Trent. That's okay. You go with that. But we're going to talk about a certain Pedro Porro later on. I've got to talk about this guy because I was very impressed. Very impressed. So Liverpool 1, Brentford 0. Anything else to say on this game? I think Salah doing what Salah does. He can always pop up with a goal, can't he? Nunes was the one that was getting into the positions.
I did feel like Brentford had potential to get something in this one, though.
Yeah, every team does against Liverpool. Come on, everyone. we give teams, any team, a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want to double up, I think for me, Trent is the priority at Liverpool,
yeah,
closely followed by Salah. If you can have them both because your team structure works and it's not compromising your double game week players, then I think you do that. But outside of those two, I think you could go without for next week, particularly given there's a double.
All right. Well, listen, fourth overall in the BPS standings so far this game week, Mo Salah with 29. So that tells you that not only did he get the goal, but he's doing plenty to feed those bonus points and get the two that he deserves. So there we go. Liverpool 1, Brentford 0. Let's move it swiftly on to the Newcastle game from today, Sam. So Newcastle 0, Arsenal 2. I'll be honest, didn't call this.
I got this completely wrong.
I didn't call it.
No, I got it.
And in my FPL team, I stuck Trippier and I stuck Isak in there. And I third benched Gabriel.
I sold Gabriel.
Third benched Gabriel. And that's really stinging me because his EO in and around my rank is something like 0.7. Given he got the 7-pointer, it is stinging like hell, I'll be honest. But to be fair, I never really considered playing him.
I sold him.
I thought Newcastle would score today. I honestly did. The way that they've been scoring recently, obviously the patch that Arsenal were coming out of, the City game, etc., etc. The narrative was definitely there for a home win.
I agree.
But you've got to hand it to Arsenal. I thought they were very, very good.
It's one of those games today where, well, in fact, both games today, where the exact opposite of what I thought would happen happened.
Right.
I thought that Arsenal might come out on the front foot. I expected them to come out on the front foot because that tends to be what they do for sort of 20 minutes or so and try and win the game.
Yeah.
And I thought that they might do what they did a bit about against Liverpool and sort of tail off a bit and then Newcastle would eventually get the better of them. And I didn't expect Gabriel to be playing after the injury against Chelsea.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have the double and they haven't been keeping clean sheets. So I was like, do you know what? And Newcastle have been really solid defensively. In attack. So I was like, I was worried about not having an Arsenal attacker for this one because I didn't really think that Newcastle would clean sheet. But I wanted to play Trippier because there's some attacking threat, which we always talk about, but then it never comes to anything, which is a bit frustrating. So going into this one, I sold Gabriel, which, on reflection,
feels like an okay move.
I still would have done it. Yeah. Like, you know, it is what it is. But I wanted to use this game as an opportunity to scout the Newcastle attackers because I felt, and I said this on our Ohana for our patrons last week, I felt quite unsure about where and how I might invest in Newcastle. So the plan is currently for a Newcastle attacker and a Newcastle midfielder.
So what are you thinking then? So given the way that this game went, you know, to be honest with you, Newcastle came out like a house on fire. And actually that... the momentum was completely killed by the VAR. So there was a VAR for a potential handball against the Arsenal youngster defender, whose name I can't remember, for a penalty. And it comes off his leg, but it took VAR ages to do it. So in the end, no penalty for Newcastle when it was initially given. And more importantly, in my opinion, the momentum completely died. So Newcastle absolutely gunning for Arsenal. And it just died because of the VAR took 3 or 4 minutes to come up with that decision. And then after that, Arsenal... to be fair to them, because it's been, you know, and I have and others have kind of maybe been a bit critical of them this season for not being that kind of that good at game management.
Yeah.
But they were great at it, right? Yeah. Every 2 seconds they were down. Xhaka spent more time on his ass than up
or
in
arguing.
That game. Or arguing. You know, every time there was even a little touch, they were down and, you know, rolling around. And listen, I call it S-Housery, whatever you want, but they got the job done and they win 2-0 and they keep the title hopes alive. So, but from a Newcastle perspective, you want to get in one of their forwards. I've got Isaac already. I'm thinking about going for the double up and going Wilson as well. I'm going to ask the question that's going to get asked a lot ahead of their double game week in 37?
Six.
36. Let me just remind ourselves.
Next week.
Let me remind myself. Yes, the Newcastle double. Leeds and Brighton. Yeah, of course. And then it's Leicester and then Chelsea. So ahead of the double game week coming up for Newcastle, which of those two... would you have?
Well, I have Isak and Wilson.
Isak or Wilson?
It's difficult. And I still am not sure that I'm 100% sure that I know. The one thing I will say is that Wilson came off early in this game, which I think bodes well for him going into next week because he didn't get the full 90, whereas Isak did get the full 90.
Yeah.
I thought there were moments today where Callum Wilson probably could and should have got something. And, of course, had that penalty been given, I would have expected Callum Wilson to have
taken it, converted it, and then
picked up the points. So, for me, I think, because I don't have either and it's a straight choice, the penalty and the additional route to points that Callum Wilson has from that, and the fact that he went off a bit early this week... I think means that he's the one that I'm going to go to of the two.
Yeah, I didn't like Isak wide.
No.
I don't like it. When Wilson went off, I think St. Maximin came on, played left, and Isak went in the middle. Better.
And he looked better, yeah.
Better. But for sure, I don't like him wide, and I don't think he likes playing wide either. And the way that Newcastle play, they like to kind of stretch those defences, and they do keep their wide players wide.
Yeah,
right?
They
do receive the ball where they like to cut in, like St. Maximin likes to cut in, Almiron likes to cut in as well. Jacob Murphy, who I thought played actually all right and had some chances today without getting any FPL points. Super cheap, by the way. I didn't realise quite how cheap Jacob Murphy is.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a differential way into that Newcastle midfield... okay, minutes risk, etc. It comes with a health warning, no doubt about it. But if you want a super cheap option in that Newcastle midfielder, don't mind Jacob Murphy. Don't mind him.
I mean, so that's the other thing I'm looking at is a Newcastle midfielder. And on Ohana, I was talking about, you know, Joe Linton versus Jacob Murphy versus Willock.
Yeah.
Because it's been those three really that have been the kind of standouts in the midfield that you could choose between. And one of the things that I do really like about having Willock come in for Gakpo is that's a lot of money then siphoned off into the bank.
Yeah.
And
to do what with, though? What do you do with it?
So I'm already set up for game week 37.
Okay.
So that would mean I don't have to make any transfers going into 37 because I've already got 2 Manchester United, 3 Manchester City and 3 Brighton. But going into 38 then, I'd have 2 free transfers and a lot of money in the bank, which would allow me to get Salah for game week 38.
Right.
And then I could have, for the final game week of the season, I can have the holy trinity of Kane, Haaland
and
Salah.
Yeah.
Which I like. Whereas if I go Joe Linton, it's going to take an extra points hit in order to make that change. Whereas if I go for Murphy right now, I put myself in a position where I can get to Salah without needing to compromise anything else, which is attractive and appealing.
Okay. All right, and from an Arsenal perspective then, their remaining fixtures read like this. It's Brighton at home, Forest, and then Wolves. you'd back them based on the result and the performance today to go and get 9 points out of those, would you? I mean, I'm not entirely sure that's enough for them to win the league. I'm going to back City from here on in, I suspect, as I have done most of the season. But three from three for Arsenal. So we're all going to be looking at Brighton and Newcastle this week. We're all going to be looking at Brighton, United, City and Chelsea the week after. We're not going to be looking at Martinelli and Saka, etc., are we? Brighton, Forest and Wolves.
See, I don't think they will get 3 points against Brighton.
Do you not?
No.
At home? Yeah, come on.
No.
Really?
I don't. I think Brighton have got so much to fight for at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
That I think that that game, if Arsenal win it, they're going to have to work really hard to win that game. I think that there is potential that there's a bit of a slip up there and that Brighton take a point away from them. The other two, yes, I think I think they will. And I think, you know, it's the same as everything, isn't it, with us in FPL, is that we always, and rightly in so many ways, we look to target in on the doubling players because the double game week players are the ones that have the potential to bring the most points returns over the course of the game week because they're going to have the extra minutes. But it does almost always mean you sacrifice a good single game week. The amount of people that sacrifice Kane, you did it.
Yeah, yeah.
As part of a wild card to have these other players in. And since then, he has consistently returned. Now, all right, the player that you brought in was Salah for the double and he's done well. So it hasn't affected you too much. But nonetheless, you have to sacrifice good players in order to get these double game weekers. And then you have to hope the doublers do what you think they're going to. And so with the Arsenal assets, it's a risk, right? Not having them is definitely a risk.
I don't think you can ignore. So I disagree. I think Arsenal will beat Brighton. I think they'll get 3 for 3. But that's enough for them to win the league or not, time will tell. But I don't see them dropping any more points. And the player you cannot ignore, Martin Ødegaard, right now. You can't ignore him.
No, but
what is that, like 5 goals in the last 5 games or something? Ridiculous.
Okay, so your midfield currently. 2 Brighton.
Yeah.
Can't get rid of them because they've got a double.
Probably not, no.
Rashford. Can't get rid of him because he's got the double.
Yeah, okay.
Salah. Not getting rid of him. Who's your other one?
Grealish. Who's got a double in 37, so, potentially.
So how are you getting Ødegaard in?
Well, I don't know. But all I'm saying is you can't ignore him, I don't think. Those fixtures, we're all going to be piling into the double game weekers.
See, I think that the thing you could do, potentially, is not have him for 36 because it's a tough fixture against Brighton, and then use one of your Newcastle double spots with an Arsenal player after that. Because that was my thought process, is I don't need to hold my Murphys, my Callum Wilsons.
Would you get rid of a Wilson or an Isak in 37 then?
And he could become Jesus.
With Leicester at home, I don't know if you would do that, to be honest with you. When they're fighting for top four, I don't know.
It's the sort of thing you could do. But this is what I mean. I think it's hard to have Arsenal right now, unless you've already got them.
Yeah.
Because you're probably, if you haven't got them, it's probably because you filled your team with doublers.
Mm. Okay. All right. Just saying he's hard to ignore at the minute. Ødegaard, he's playing bloody well.
He's hard to ignore, but he's also
very,
hard
very
to
good.
Get.
Very, very good. Let's talk about Spurs 1, Crystal Palace 0 then. So a win for Spurs.
Hurrah!
Finally a win for Spurs. Hurrah! And posting some pretty good stats. And from the highlights that I saw, Spurs were worthy winners in this game. You can see from the amount of yellow cards that Crystal Palace racked up in this game that it was a physical game from their perspective. I do want to... Obviously, we can talk about Kane till the cows come home if you want. But I did notice second for chances created in the Fantasy Football Scout members area... you're going to love this because I bought him in on my free hit the other
week.
Absolutely.
Right? I honestly think that you love Pedro Porro more than me.
I was mega impressed with Pedro Porro. Well, I can't even say his name, Pedro Porro. Now that Ryan Mason has gone back to this, you know, Stellini and this back four nonsense has gone and Ryan Mason's gone, right, we're going to play the three and you two wide players, you basically don't even need to defend.
That bit like Trent.
That's how Spurs approached this Palace game. He said to... Who was left? Perisic?
Royale was back.
No, but Royale was like sent. He was like in the centre on the right, wasn't he? Right centre back.
Right,
and then Porro was next to him in the sort of wing back.
Yeah.
Perisic left? Can't remember. I think so. Must have been. But he basically said to the wide players, don't worry about defending. Just go and attack. And Pedro Porro, I'm telling you, when he gets forward, I wouldn't say he's unbelievable, but he really impressed me. And he's on set pieces taking your corners.
Yeah.
Listen, Fantasy Football Scout members area, as you know, quick plug for Scout. If you're not on Scout, have a look at it. Free trial still on?
Yeah.
Same rules apply. Same thing I say every week. Have a look at the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Those that are a member can check this out. Pedro Porro, second for chances created after, well, listen, Kevin De Bruyne was first, so no shame in coming second to Kevin De Bruyne. So Porro, second for chances created with 4. Top in the game week for crosses with 12 crosses. He's also up there for touches in the opponent's half as well. What more do you need? We're talking about differential punts between now and the end of the season. Pedro Porro, just putting it out there. None of the other defenders are keeping clean sheets. You might as well go for something a bit out there. Pedro Porro, come on, get him in your team.
I honestly don't remember you ever talking so passionately about a Spurs player as you have Pedro Porro. For 3 weeks now, you've been banging on about Pedro Porro.
I just think he's going to go massively under the radar because, again...
He's not got a double.
Same rhetoric, no double. So we're all going to be looking at the same... Last Sunday, we had this conversation last Sunday. Our teams are all going to look the same for the last 3 weeks. Everyone's going to have the same players. No one's going to be... If you're behind in your mini leagues, sorry, you've already lost because everybody's team is going to be template for the last 3 weeks. So where's the differentials? I said Son last week. Thought Son was unlucky in this game. Thought he could have easily had a goal. The other one ruled out for VAR. Don't know, but could have easily scored. And Pedro Porro, I'm telling you, these last 3 games, I think there is some returns there for Porro. I think there's a double-digit haul in one of those games. And if you're brave enough to play him, instead of maybe in a Stupinan in 36. Because look at that. Are you going to play a Stupinan against Arsenal and Newcastle away?
I think you have to. He's got attacking potential.
You're going to play Trippier? Who else are you going to play?
Right, stop it right now. What? I would play a Stupinan over Trippier all day long.
What, in 36?
Have you watched
You're
Trippier?
Mad. Absolutely madness. You, what, Leeds and Brighton?
You want a bench.
What the hell? Trippier's like my second choice for captaincy this week. Oh, never mind not playing.
Enjoy your 4 points.
Unreal.
Trippier hasn't had...
How would you play a Stupinan over Trippier this week?
I'll tell you why. Hold the line.
Absolute nonsense.
While you rave about Pedro Porro some more, because we do love a bit of Pedro Porro now in this house. Right, here we go. Here's Kieran Trippier over the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I know. So he's got a double game week against Leeds and Brighton.
I know, but we've had 1-2-2-2, 1-2-2. And then, all right, there was a 12. Then it was another 2-5-1, 1-2-2. He's been... I love Trippier.
Now, look, Webby's trying to dig me out here. Look, you'll be tearing me up to get Zaha next. Now, I did shout out Zaha a couple of weeks ago and he did return. So you can pipe down, Webby.
No, that was a good shout. It was not. You shouted out Zaha last week. You sat here last week and said, get Maddison and get Zaha. Zaha's blanked. In fact, all he did was get booked against Spurs.
Right, listen, rather than you just having a go at me all the time, Pedro Porro, you're the Spurs fan. Tell me, am I barking up the wrong tree or is this a good differential between now and the end of the season?
I think what your rhetoric was correct in terms of
if you
want somebody to defend, it's not Pedro Porro. However,
not in a back four.
He can and is really good. His crosses are good. His ability to pick out a ball is good. The only thing I'd say is, having watched him live against Manchester United, there was a lot of...
That's back when you were... Crap management.
No, it wasn't. We had Mason was in charge.
Yeah, but he hadn't had his time to put his arm around the players. They're all friends now at Spurs. Come on, I'm trying to be nice about Spurs. Ryan Mason's having an impact in there already. You've got 3 nice fixtures between now and the end of the season. Second, by the way, across the whole game week so far for underlying BPS, Pedro Porro, 40 BPS. Gundogan is the only one that can beat him right now.
Have you been on the happy pills today?
Just saying.
Liverpool.
Just saying.
Have won a game and Lee thinks everything's going well. I like Pedro.
We're
going
to talk about our teams later on and what transfers for next week.
Are you getting Pedro
Porro? I've got 2 free transfers and I am seriously considering Pedro Porro and I'm not joking.
Oh my God.
I'm not joking.
I like Pedro Porro. I thought he had a really good game in this one. I don't think I'd be using one of my free transfers to bring him in ahead of a double game.
I cannot wait for Pedro Porro to brace next week. And that's the reason I beat you in FPL.
Not only are you going
to
bring him in, you're going to start him next week.
Might do. Yeah, might do. Why not?
We're away at Villa, aren't we?
Time to have a bit of fun in FPS the last 3 game weeks. Right, what else from a Spurs perspective then? Porro, Kane, anything else?
No, I think if you're investing in Spurs, it's Kane.
Right.
Good. And apparently Porro.
Not apparently. Right, let's move on. Let's talk about City 2, Leeds 1 then. Apart from how the hell Erling Haaland hasn't scored, it's no, absolutely unbelievable.
But it's not just that, is it? It's also, what on earth are you doing, Edison? Where is my clean sheet?
Yes, he does seem to... And I remember seeing some stat after the game about his lack of save ability. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's faced a certain number of shots this season. And his... I don't know what the stat is. You guys will tell me in the chat, right? But there's this kind of, like, expected save delta stat that I've seen. You know, where... how many shots have you faced on target versus how many you've saved? His do not make for good reading, Edison.
No, they don't.
Not at all.
But when you invest in Edison... When I invested in Edison, I did it because I looked at, they had good fixtures where clean sheets should have been there. But the problem we're having is that, so I wasn't that bothered about the save stats because I was kind of like, well, I'm not expecting save points out of you. I'm just expecting 6 points most weeks because they were keeping clean sheets at this point as well, which is the frustration.
Yeah.
Since I've bought
it,
I
should have kept a clean sheet in this
game. But it, and it was the same against, who was it he played against in the first game of game, Fulham?
Wow, lots of teams.
Yeah, Fulham. The first game they played in game week 34.
There's
Fulham.
Edison owners out there that have had him for weeks going, yes, we know, welcome to the club.
I've this had is... him for weeks.
Right.
He's been blanking every 5 minutes. Okay. And then the one team time that they did keep a clean sheet, he was benched.
So anything you want to talk about from this game that will bring your octave down from up here where you're talking about Porro well, and Edison to back down
honestly,
to a normal level?
This game... was ridiculous.
Yes.
Haaland dodged every point going, including giving away penalties so he didn't get any points.
City scored the exact same goal twice.
Grealish didn't play.
Yeah.
And Edison conceded. So okay. it
you
all went
move on.
Absolutely brilliantly. Oh, and also people like Stones were benched for the managers that have him.
Yeah.
Oh, and Ake went off before...
Before the 60.
The 60. Yeah.
So what are you thinking about your Man City assets? Because you're not going to sell any of them ahead of the double game week. You're going to stick with Haaland, Grealish and Edison? You're going to stick with them three? Or move anything around?
I'll stick with Grealish and Haaland. Edison's up for debate.
Okay.
Because I think Edison could be anyone else.
Okay.
I've still got... I could go Chelsea over. I don't think I want to.
Chelsea?
I could
what,
go...
Going back to Kepa? Come no, on, man.
Well, it's going to free up some more money, isn't it, on my quest for Salah for 38. Jeez. Could go down to De Gea, to be honest, and have three United, and then use my City transfer somewhere else. But the issue I also have with City is, if I didn't have Edison and had an extra City player, who would I get?
Difficult, isn't it?
So I don't... Because I don't think I'd want to get De Bruyne...
Be expensive.
Maybe I would, but I don't think I would. Maybe I'll... And then...
Gundo after tonight's performance?
Or maybe, but... I mean, surely he's been absolutely rocketed by Pep for taking the penalty.
I don't think... So City, I don't think, are going to come up against the tactic that Leeds used that often, which was classic Sam Allardyce, which is... Get as many people on the goal line as possible, as quickly as possible. Every time that City come forward, which was 99% of the time, Leeds would just retreat. And they were almost scared to engage. They wouldn't step up and engage and win that ball back. So they retreat. So what happens is Mahrez gets the ball wide. Leeds flow back onto the goal line. It's like watching Sunday League, isn't it? It's like watching Under 9 Sunday League. Everyone flows back to the goal line. And then there's just Gundogan just there in the hole. So Mahrez is like, well, there you go. Just
and
tap
it, was,
it,
and
you.
It was the same ball twice.
I'm not being and a good finish, but take nothing away from the finish I by Gundo. But Leeds, if they're gonna play like that between now and the end of the season, they will go down. I think, but I don't think that they will. I think they'll have to change it.
So my view was actually that if I was gonna change up my City investment, I'd probably go lean towards Mahrez again. Because I thought that couple of games, he's looked all right. I don't know. I'll have to see. I'm not doing anything about them this week. It'll be ahead of 37.
All right. Super chat from Cy Badette. Thank you,
hey,
Nigel the Crab. How are you, mate? Evening, Bombfields. Hello, mate. Only a -8 this week and 210 transfers this season. Yikes. Special shout out to... Now, I didn't know about this. I've just read this comment. Did you know about this? Special shout out to Harry for unintentionally streaming some adult content on his live stream. Did you know this? Some audio for some adult content went out on Harry's live show. I did not know this.
Wait, stop. Hang on.
Harry, you'll be getting... The YouTube police will be in your email, mate. He'll have the YouTube police on him, won't he?
Right, no, but hang on. What did he? What did you just played it? Or
I don't. I'm just reading out the comment. I don't know.
Or the audio was accidentally on at the wrong moment.
I think the audio. It's Simon says unintentionally streaming adult content.
His own
audio.
Adult content.
I don't know, Sam. I don't know. You're putting images Harry? In people's heads that people don't want. Right.
Harry must be in the chat. Harry.
What happened, mate?
I need some clarity here, what please, happened? Harry. Wow. Is that all Simon wanted to tell us?
That's why he super chatted, basically.
I have got so much time for Si super chatting just to tell us about Harry and his adult content.
Webby's in. He says, lol, sorry, it was funny. It actually happened. Amazing.
Has anyone got a video of this? Because I need to see this.
Right, before we get into our team, Sam.
Before we get into Harry's adult content.
No, before we get into our teams, a quick shout out to Chelsea. No one's buying them in FPL, but they did actually do a goal.
My mate Koulibaly.
They did actually get a win.
Badiashai. Yes, he's finally done something.
Yeah, he did. I honestly don't know. Chelsea winning 3-1. I have no idea how that happened. Do you watch the highlights of this game?
Yeah.
I mean, they were 1-0 up. Okay, fair
they're
enough.
They're over 40
decent
now.
Goal, Gallagher. Well done. Well, they're safe now, basically. Bournemouth went 1-1. Great goal by Vigna. Great goal by Vigna. And then after that, the Chelsea goal just led a bit of a charm life, particularly at the beginning of the second half. Great save by Kepa.
It was all Bournemouth.
One, I think, clear-cut header with a pretty high XG from literally in the six-yard box. Don't know how they got away with it. And then Badiashile just pops up with a goal, and then João Félix with it. Unbelievable, really. Unbelievable. But nevertheless, Chelsea get the win. Frank gets his first win back at Chelsea in the hot seat.
Best game in about 20, wasn't it?
Well played. Very, very quickly and briefly, can they tempt you for the double game week?
Who, Chelsea? If they did all right in 36...
Cool, I thought you were going to say a straight no, but can they tempt you?
Well, let's see, because look, they've got a win now.
It's Forest at home in 36. If they can't win that...
Well, that's the thing. So if they could get something, and if it's the same players again, like if I don't know, it's got to be an attacker. If Gallagher pops up again in 36, then he might not be a terrible differential.
Oh, come on. You're not buying him for City, Man United away, and then Newcastle.
Man City have just... prove to you that they can concede every time that Edison's in goal.
Not to Chelsea.
Of course they can. And then there's Man United who can't win against West Ham. Maybe.
Move on.
Look, the likelihood is they won't beat Forest and then nobody's going to want them anyway. But if they beat Forest, maybe.
Sam, the answer to that question is no. I'm not considering Chelsea. It could have been
Just been sat here saying get differentials in.
Could have been a very easy conversation that, but you had to string it out for a minute. The answer, folks, is no. Don't get Chelsea. They're terrible.
No, apparently the answer is Pedro Porro.
Team Sam then is on 27 points this week, which actually doesn't sound too bad in the grand scheme.
28,
things.
I think you'll find.
28. Sorry, I do apologise.
You've actually change it. Please,
I must have done this a
little
bit.
You've dumped me out of a point.
I think Rashford got two, didn't he?
You're right.
You've
dumped me out.
Obviously, created this slide before the 60 minutes where Rashford picked up his second point. I do apologise. 28 points, that make all the difference. Your overall rank, therefore, is not 105k. It's presumably 104 or something k, is it?
Yeah,
I don't
something
know.
Like that. 103.
So you're down a little bit, but you've got your three Brighton boys to play, including the penalty maestro himself, McAllister, who, if he could score another goal like he did last game week, would be very welcome for both of us. Those three, I think, going to save your game week? Or well, how are you feeling about the game
I
week?
I mean, they have to, don't they?
Need they? To. They need to. Yeah,
they have to save my game week. Yeah. But the thing one is, don't you feel like everybody's game week is basically needing to be saved by Brighton right now?
Yeah, it's feeling a bit like it. It's feeling a bit like
I'm
it.
I'm starting to wish I'd played Everson over Edison.
Yeah, probably. But listen, you weren't ever going to do that, were you? What, home to Leeds versus away at Fulham? You're never going to do it, are you? You're never going to do it. So anyway, it's a pretty meh game week. It is what it is. I think most people are going to be in a similar position, right? Trent in with the 7 is good. Kane in with the 8 is good. The Haaland captaincy, unbelievable how he's not got any points. Let's see how the Brighton boys get on. Thoughts for you ahead of game week 36 coming up, the double then. What are you thinking and planning?
So Watkins to Wilson.
Right.
Gakpo to Jacob Murphy.
Gakpo to Jacob Murphy. I'll tell you what, in game week 1, if you'd have said, I'll be bringing in Jacob Murphy for a 36 double game week, you'd have laughed. I'd have laughed you out of the room. Gakpo to Jacob Murphy. Okay, interesting. All right, so all aboard Newcastle, even though they're a bit not so great today. You're still believing in them?
I think you have to for the double, and then next week Jacob Murphy becomes someone else, and then that position eventually becomes Salah.
Not concerned about the Jacob Murphy rotation risk with Almiron potentially? Obviously not. You obviously think Murphy's now done.
I mean, I don't think anyone's nailed on ever for anything in a double game week. But what I do think is that I've got to pick one out of the three.
All right.
And it's either Murphy or Jones.
You don't
Jones.
Have to pick one out of the three. You keep Gakpo as the other option.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to. He's not nailed on.
All right,
is he? Luis Diaz could start.
Luis Diaz could start. Yeah, I hope he does.
You know, he's not nailed on either. So I think if I'm going to go for somebody that's not nailed on to start, might as well be somebody that's got two games to not start in and maybe get, you know?
Yeah, might as well get a zero from a double game week. Absolutely. If it's part of a broader plan to get Salah, then I'm on board. My game week, equally crap. Game week score, 27. My Rashford one will actually be two as well. So I'll be the same as you, 28. Total points, 2,326. That'll be overall rank 56k, whatever. Overall change, minus 8.1. Absolute guff, rubbish. Crap game week, let's move on. Estupinan, Mitoma and McAllister, same as you. So whatever, we will end up on the same score this week. We'll end up on the same score.
Max is back ahead of you.
That's not a shock, because I've had a crap game week. He's got Salah and Kane, isn't he?
And Haaland, yeah.
He's got the threemium, so he'll be all right. He'll have got the two. The Salah points were very welcome indeed. Isak was a bit of a disappointment. I bought him in thinking he might do something. Watkins as well, one pointer. It's about three or four back-to-back now for him, which... it's not too great. And then the Gabriel sitting on the bench was a stinker, but I didn't think they'd keep a clean sheet, honestly. Hence putting Botman
also didn't think he'd play.
Ahead of him on the bench. Yeah, well, for sure, flagged as well, right? So the one thing I will say is that I'm probably not going to sell Gabriel now. Probably not.
What, not even for Pedro Porro?
No, because Gabriel, the Arsenal fixtures, as I said before, they look all right. Well, this is the plan with the two free transfers potentially going into the next game week. So if I wanted to have Callum Wilson in this team and have Isak and Wilson, I can do Watkins to Wilson and then I can do Botman to Pedro Porro. I'm doing it. I'm doing Pedro Porro and you can't stop me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then what would I have? I'd have Trippier, who... frankly, he's in there because he's an EO risk more than anything. It's Estupinan with his double, although I don't like his double, but I'll probably play him because he's double. Then it's a kind of Gabriel, Robertson and Pedro Porro all with the single game weeks. Who would I play? Let's just style this out a little bit.
Hang on, stop.
Pedro Porro
you
away
can't
at Villa.
Bring in Pedro Porro.
Robbo away at Leicester.
Hype him all this and then not
or
start
Arsenal
him.
At home to Brighton. Difficult, isn't it?
You can't hype Pedro Porro this whole stream. Everything good you've said has been about...
I'll probably play him. I'll play him ahead of Gabriel, probably. And back Brighton to get the goal at the Emirates.
So you're going to bring in Pedro Porro and start him?
Why not? It's game week 36. It's time to... everyone's got the same team.
Sweet. Have you seen the Spurs defence?
I know. You get to clean sheet.
Oh, well done, Spurs. One clean sheet.
One clean sheet and I'm going all in on Spurs.
We've kept one clean sheet this year.
There we go, guys. That is the game week. So we will know a bit more about how our teams have got on after Mitoma, McAllister, March and Estupinan and Steele or anybody else you've got from Brighton has played tomorrow night. Good luck if you've got anybody from Fulham, Southampton or any of the other teams that are playing that are complete non-starters from an FPL perspective. What is coming up this week? Thomas is in the chat just saying Pedro Porro is a joke. Coming up this week, Sam, what have we got?
I literally love that you've gone so hard on Pedro Porro.
Oh, I'm getting Pedro
Porro. You are going to get so much abuse if Pedro Porro does anything bad. Like, if he scores an OG or gets sent off, he's just going to come at you.
Just imagine he gets something, though. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. What is going on this week? The pod will be back. The official pod will be back. Me, Kelly and Jules on Thursday this week. So make sure you get that in your ears before the deadline on Saturday. There'll be an Ohana, as usual, for our patrons this week. That'll be out on Friday morning.
Very nice.
And you'll be able to catch us both on Sky Sports News on Saturday.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Just as I'm bringing in Pedro Porro, I've got to go live on UK TV and tell everybody
really,
else what I've done.
I really, really hope that the state your case this week is for
Pedro
a
Porro.
Single game week defender.
Yes.
Because then you're
away
just,
at Villa.
Because then Mark, the producer, will go, right, state your cases on this. And then what generally happens is that Lee comes to me and goes, I want to do this player. And then I pick someone else to
I'm
make sure
it.
That we don't do the same player. And if it's that, I'll just know he's going to do Pedro Porro and I might as well pick anyone else.
I'm doing it, guys. It's on. It's on. Thank you for joining us here for this slightly shorter version of FPL Family because of the Manchester United game on a little bit later. Thanks for everybody listening to the podcast and to all of you that listen to our voice notes in the week. Those are getting lots and lots of plays. So, guys, wherever you're listening to the podcast, hit that follow button, hit subscribe, hit whatever the podcast button says, and you'll be notified whenever our little voice notes go live. So thank you to the podcast listeners for tuning in. Thank you to you on YouTube. Thank you to the live chat. Leave us a like before you go. Hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next Sunday after the Pedro Porro hat trick. See you soon, guys.
Bye, guys.